Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
The kids aren't all right. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
It was concerned throughout most of the evening until they found out that their youngsters did make it home safely from that concert with The Who at Riverfront Coliseum. The ending, however, was not as fortunate for a number of them. 11 young persons died.
If you know me, you know I like to rock.
Dude likes to rock.
Safely, though.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, rock and roll isn't always safe. On December 3rd, 1979... rock and roll was very tragic and very dangerous. A Who concert, 11 people got trampled and crushed.
Whoa.
What's tough is when you're like researching stuff like this, you find other lists of people getting crushed at events. So it's like, wow, there's just so many people getting crushed at events that there's a section for all the
crushings.
And
crushed human quota.
Tramplings at events. This is topical, I guess, right now because The Who are putting out a new album they put out like one new album in maybe the last, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And are you familiar with The Who?
Me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up pretty much. Like a lot of classic rock.
Yeah.
Like The Who.
Like old Green Day,
yeah,
My
classic.
Chemical Romance,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like that kind
emo,
of stuff. Yeah.
Emo pop punk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Roger Daltrey and Pete Townsend have like a very like tumultuous relationship where it's interesting because they're, the two main members, like Pete Townsend writes pretty much everything and Roger Daltrey just does a great job as a front man. I'm sure he writes some lyrics. But they don't get along. They do get along, but they don't get along. They do everything separately. I think they record separately now.
Yeah.
And Pete Townsend said about Keith Moon, very famous rock and roll drummer, absolute chaos, which we should talk about at some point. I'm sure we'll try to find a way to fit that in.
Yeah, definitely.
But he was like, I'm glad he's dead. John Entwistle, the bass player, seems like a nice, quiet guy, whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm glad he's dead because he was hard to like keep time with when he played bass.
God, can you imagine just saying that verbatim to not even just alone in your apartment, but like to the media where you're like, I'm glad he's dead.
And some people say that it's a kind of like also maybe a PR thing or at least putting out there because like, they're touring again and all that. So I figured, if you want to bring up dirt, let's talk about
dirt. Let's dig it up.
The unfortunate event in December 1979 where 11 people trampled for rock and roll.
For rock and roll.
Yeah.
Sacrifice to the gods of rock and roll. It is... I don't go to a lot of concerts.
Who would you get trampled for?
Nobody. Nobody. Maybe a better Beatle. Like a John Lennon.
John Lennon?
A John Lennon, one of many.
Well, like a John Lennon type?
Not a Julian Lennon.
Okay.
We'll do John Lennon. I would get trampled for George Harrison, probably Paul. Well, I guess everyone but Ringo Starr I would get trampled for. I saw Ringo Starr at the State Fair, and that was pretty crowded. No trampling. Not even close, though.
I'd let Billy Joel dropkick me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right. The closest I have gotten to being trampled was in Madison, Wisconsin when I was in college. There was a riot during Halloween. And I have always, thought of like a trampling or like a, being taken away by the crowd kind of abstractly. But I was literally carried away by a crowd and it was terrifying. So I can't even imagine taking it up to the notch where people are getting killed because of it.
I never almost got trampled, but I once saw Pantera.
Yeah,
it's probably like 1994, 1995. Mm-hmm. It was like a pretty big, they were really big. It was like Pantera, Sepultura, Biohazard, there's barriers and you had wristbands to be, because you want to be in the general admission. You don't want like the crappy seats. So I tried to jump the barrier and I almost cleared it and a security guard grabbed me and I believe I kicked maybe her in the face, not intentionally.
Oh man.
It's just where the way my legs were going let me go. And yes, obviously it wasn't the right thing to do. It wasn't intentional and I'm not Pantera's cool or tough or bad. Yeah.
Infectious.
I don't even think and it wasn't even like, oh, I love punk. These. Like I was I just love going to like, it just, that's all I did.
Yeah.
And I want, everyone else was there because I got my ticket last and I was like, well, I don't want to be left out.
Yeah.
Wow. So like I jumped this, I jumped the barrier and.
We're just old people now. I can't, I went to Lizzo. God, the whitest woman in the room.
You were? There's whiter than you in that room.
No, it's just, it's such a cliche for me to go see Lizzo. To spend, you know, $100 on a Lizzo.
Did you do you?
Did I do? I was 100% that bitch.
Okay.
100%. Who, I give a shout out to Kai Choice, who has a very funny joke about Lizzo, about that thing where she's like, I'm 100% afraid of this, or I'm 100% sick of this joke structure. I'm just like, very good.
Yeah.
I was very into that.
Well, we're going to go to Cincinnati, Ohio.
Ooh.
Which is right.
I haven't been there in a while.
I feel like we're always ending up. It's like we're drawn to, it's like Michigan, Detroit.
Yeah.
You know.
It's like Rust Belt style aggression and violence.
You know, in the home state of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rock and roll. But
let's do it.
December, Cincinnati, 1979. So by 7 o'clock, there was estimated 8,000 people. Outside the venue's locked gates. They're not even open, so people are losing their minds. A big problem with this is the way the ticket structure made this kind of where they were like, it doesn't matter what kind of ticket you have, a small amount of people have an assigned seat. Everyone else, lose your minds.
Yeah.
It's absolute chaos.
Go crazy. You're not supposed to be anywhere.
Yeah, it's like, where do we go? Anywhere is where you're supposed to go. So everyone is going to go and try to be in the best spot.
Like a trash can, stand on top of it and throw it.
I'm like me. I'd be like, I'll just wait. I'll just wait and hang out.
I know. I'd be like, was there like a plush couch outside?
Yeah. Is there, like, where's the hot dogs? Like, I want a rock and roll hot dog.
Yeah, ooh. That sounds good.
So there was 18,500 tickets.
Mm-hmm.
3,500 were reserved seating. They wanted to open up a second set of doors, but the venue did not open it. There wasn't even enough tickets for the amount of people. People were crashing the con. It was a very, I don't know. I mean, we're in 1979.
Yeah. It's like they don't know. The problem, we've done a lot of concerts becoming disasters. Yeah. And it's like, it starts at the very, the genius of the venue, of the event. Like they, every piece of the way, they know that something is probably not right. There's no critical thinking involved. And then it just erupts in chaos.
And I think that's what, you know, it's like, is an event good?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, like, all the excitement of, you know, people going wild and stuff like that, it's like, how technically, how good were they? Who knows? Who cares?
Yeah.
It's everything that happens around it. It's like, where a place will be, like, they'll purposefully have a long line outside the front to make it seem like a lot of people are trying to get in.
Yeah.
You know, that whole thing.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. That's like the, because I park in the Palladium for my job. And so I'm always trying to navigate these giant lines around this corner of Argyle and Sunset Palladium, pretty famous small Hollywood venue.
So doors were just, you ever see like a Black Friday, like
a sale, like a picture busters. Of like someone, of like women who are like, bah!
But put like where like the doors are just broken through.
Yeah.
Like that kind of stuff. That's what this was like.
Ooh.
People were getting trampled, compressive asphyxia, just getting, I guess, just completely, there's just so many humans in such a little spot.
I keep thinking about like the closest I've been to this, which was so horrifying, and I had no control over where I was or where I was going to be or who was around me or if I could do anything. Yeah. So that is just sounds awful. Yeah.
And the Riverfront Coliseum was absolutely not prepared for this. One police officer said the crowd jammed people up so tightly in front they just passed out. Attendee Ron Durish said of the moment, quote, a wave swept me to the left, and when I regained my stance, I felt like I was standing on someone. Mm. I screamed with all my strength, that I was standing on someone. I couldn't move. I could only scream. For over 15 minutes, the crowd forced its way into the venue.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's terrifying. I mean, it's got to be terrifying because not everyone knows what's happening. There's so many people. Yeah. Like, you don't know that it is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And the people all the way in the front don't know what's happening all the way in the back or in the middle.
It's very, you're in your own, like, tiny hellscape.
Candace Mopper, M-O-M-P-E-R, Moper.
Mopper?
Candace Mop. Candace Momper. That is a tragic last name.
Candace Momper.
It's like, put on your romper, get with Candace Momper. That's one of the Who songs from the new album. Spoiler alert.
It's so powerful.
Yeah. She said, in quote, there were people piled up off their feet on the ground, at least 20 of them. Some of them were unconscious. The crowd couldn't see the people piled up until they got up there. Then the crowd from behind just kept pushing so much that people kept walking over them. The police couldn't do anything. I mean, what are the police going to do? It doesn't matter if you're a police officer. Like, human bodies occupying
a small space.
It does not matter.
Oh, my God. So is The Who playing at this point?
Yeah. So The Who had no idea what happened. No, this is opening the doors.
Okay.
So The Who played. They were shielded from all this. And kind of understandably, because how does it benefit anyone to be like, P.S., guys, everyone just got trampled out there because the show must go on.
Play?
Yes. I mean, there's still people working and you know, things have to, I guess, happen. The show must go on, God. I guess, would
no,
be the word.
No, that's awful. I hate that. It's like, it's when we talked about Woodstock 99, like Fred Durst. I think that there's a power to being on a stage, and if maybe they could have like called out to people or told people to stop. Like, I think they could have helped maybe. Had they been given a chance to just playing through 11 people dying?
Well, no, they this happened before they played.
Okay.
So there was really nothing.
Dead people everywhere and they just played.
Yeah.
Good God.
But there's 20,000 people
there
almost. Mm-hmm. Let's not include vendors. Let's not include staff.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, you know, the 4 or 5 members of The Who if there's a keyboard player.
Yeah.
Think of those huge numbers. You know, how are they going to know? Like, it's not words going
to
get around.
But you know when something's... I mean, again, I agree you can't get to them, but you know when something's really wrong, I think. They must have known when everyone was gathering at this giant arena.
I mean, they're probably... I don't know if they're
God,
just...
God, so perverse.
Yes, yeah. Jesus. I don't blame them. It's not like... I don't think they knew...
I don't blame The Who.
Yeah.
But I blame the venue staff.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
But let's see. Now, what happens if they say, you know what? Forget The Who's not playing. They already were smashing down doors and stuff like that, so it's...
Yeah, but at least, like, at that point, it's like something's wrong. Like, something... I think just being cognizant of something being wrong is really important. I don't know. I'm not, like, a crowd expert.
Or pleaser.
I'm neither of those things. Never will be.
11 deaths, most of them under 21.
God.
2 were mothers. There was 26 injured.
God.
Because they thought the reaction to what was going on would... make every, you know, do you want all 20,000 people to like turn on the place?
Yeah.
And I got to imagine some of them, they were drinking diet soda. They were smoking a cigarette after cigarette after cigarette, one light beer. And that's it, because why would you do any more?
No, that's it. That's all you need.
Fire and police instructed the Coliseum to do the show.
That is so disturbing to me that the fire people were like, keep going. Why? I mean, maybe there's something I don't understand about crowd dynamics that they knew that they have to be like, oh, just like you have to try to keep this as normal as possible. But it's just, it's so disturbing.
They were alerted after the show,
mm-hmm.
The Who. And on the next night in Buffalo, Roger Daltrey told the crowd, we lost a lot of family last night. This show's for them. Providence, Rhode Island. The mayor canceled the scheduled performance of The Who at the Civic Center in the same month because they're like, mm-hmm. I can't deal with this risk. Even though Providence ended, they had assigned seating. So they didn't even have the issue. That was the issue was kind of, you know, like 10% of the tickets or less than, you know, 15% of the tickets reserved. Mm-hmm. Everything else, it doesn't matter who you are, what your status is. You could be anywhere you want to be, equal to everybody else, which is...
Yeah.
It was super dangerous.
Yeah, totally. But I think that's really great. Like that gesture, even though they wouldn't have had that problem because they were assigned seating, like the gesture of being like, this is not okay. We are losing money. we don't condone this, and we're going to make a statement about it.
The mayor who canceled it said, I'll just have my own band of dads from high school. We're going to get back together.
Whoa. They're like, we'll play.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
We'll do it.
We'll assemble. The old gang's back.
Yeah. Perfect. And people are like, no, we don't want to see.
They're like, that's not the point.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But 33 years later, they returned to Providence, and the tickets were honored from the show in 1979.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that was pretty interesting.
That's also very nice.
So
way to go, Providence.
Yeah. The city of Cincinnati imposed a ban on unassigned seating on December 27th, 1979, with minor exceptions for the next 25 years. So they were like, uh-uh.
Good.
Yeah, this is not going to happen again. Do you know where you won't get trampled? You definitely won't get trampled here. Listen, it's very safe.
Oh, the wind up. I love the wind up.
I'm getting pretty good at that,
I mean, I don't do it at all, so someone's got to.
You'll be safe and comfortable. No chance of getting trampled.
None at all.
At patreon.com/ghosttownpod. You will not get... You want to get some bonus episodes?
Some bonies? Go to patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Because we've submitted to some festivals.
You might see us. Carnivals and festivals.
Cost a little bit. We bought some new equipment that we're waiting on.
Hear my phlegmy voice and surround sound.
So we're investing a little more back into it. Mm-hmm. It's the end of the year. You know, we're recalibrating ourselves.
We're making some New Year's resolutions. We're taking inventory of how this year was to us, how it was to you.
And for $2 a month, you get bonus episodes. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to do as many advanced episodes with little to no ads.
Yeah, how about that?
That's nice, right?
Yeah. Something. It's like not corporate at all, man. Like, get in there, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Is that how you would act at the Who concert?
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Hey, man. Can I just, I'll just be on the ground. Do you need me? I'll be passed out standing in the front row. It is kind of like the two moms really stick with me. But also it's very cool to be like, man, my mom, she fucking went to a Who concert. She fucking lived.
Yeah.
And died.
Do you have an obsession with true crime? Are you intrigued by the mystery and the rabbit holes surrounding unsolved cases? And can you appreciate the snark and humor of an exhausted mother of two young children? Then you should click subscribe to Naptime Nancy Podcast. Throw on some Baby Shark for your kids or pet or partner. Slide your headphones on and join me as I talk some true crime during nap time. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Audioboom, and other listening apps.
History is full of bizarre, unsolved mysteries. And over time, these stories have been bent by rumor, warped by social media, and twisted into legend. I'm Michael May, and on A Study of Strange, we dig into these real mysteries and seek the truth, as close as we can get anyway. Recently, we've covered true crime cases like the Greystone Mansion murder, the Red Lipstick Killer, and America's first reported serial killers. Of course, every now and then we also dive into the odd, esoteric, and paranormal, including vanishing people, haunted locations, and UFO history. So if you like your mysteries historical, or if you love a good debunking every now and then, search A Study of Strange wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, the truth is always stranger than fiction.